Welcome to the Coda Catch-Up Podcast. My name is Jamie Jones, and we have a special episode today with two big releases we're going to be talking about, Drupal 8 and Foundation 6, so two things I really, really love and I'm passionate about, first being Drupal 8. So let's dive into Drupal 8. Now, there's been a huge, huge undertaking with Drupal 8. It's a massive rewrite. There's a lot of changes. It's really is a blockbuster release. So let's have a quick talk about it. But just quickly before I get into it is, if you don't know what Drupal 8 is, people call it a content management system, but it's more so of a content management framework. Now, it does have a CMS that you see, but it's kind of a resulting of the framework. So you can actually get out of the way and not use a CMS and just use the framework itself. It's a fantastic platform to base your websites off. So let's get into the advancements. So there's a better authoring experience. So we've got inline context-based editing, which includes a WYSIWYG editor by default. Now, previously, it actually didn't have a WYSIWYG editor by default. You had to use contributed modules. So it's nice to see that in there, but the context-based editing is the big one. So you can actually go on the front end, click around anywhere, be able to modify content and be on your way. And it still uses a WYSIWYG, so you just click around and off you go. It's quite a nice, non-obtrusive, very seamless experience there. They responsified all the things, particularly the admin UI, so you can essentially manage your content and manage your site from anywhere. So it doesn't matter what size screen you're on. So if you're on a really small screen like a mobile device, if you're on a tablet, a desktop, whatever, you can do that now. And they've done a lot of work with that UI and it works very, very, very well. They've really got that nailed. The next is flexible content delivery. So they've actually got a RESTful API in there now, which is so awesome. So essentially you can have like content as a service, pull content end, or you can have a content backend with a flexible front end. So you can create your backend or your information, have it managed from there as a back as an admin UI, and then maybe run the site off something like Ember or React with Redux or anything like that. So it's really, really cool what you can do there. And it also opens up the doors to being able to send your content down to things like maybe you're creating a native mobile app for iOS or Android or something like that. Really, really awesome. It's good to see that's in there. It seems to be the way of the web going, and this whole microservices and being able to pull in information from different places. So this certainly lines up with that. The next one, which is huge, which is Views in core. Now, Views is like a visual query builder. It essentially allows you to kind of go, I want this kind of content with these particular fields, and you can pull in different variables and arguments and stuff as well, and it builds out your result there and gives you a nice looking page or a section or something you can use there. It's a really big one. It's pretty much installed in like 95% of Drupal sites, so it's good to see it's been brought into core. And we'll touch a little bit more on Views a little bit later in the list. There's pretty much a bunch of always installed contributed modules that were brought in as well. Now, not all of them enabled, but a lot of them are brought in. They're like 80, 90% of the sites, these modules you bring in, and they put them in there. I won't go into the list because there is a lot of them, but it's good to see that they've been pulled in. They got new comprehensive content modeling, so out of the box with entities, fields, and views. So this is kind of upping their management of content and content types and fields and things like that through the UI. The thing is with Drupal is that it's more so like playing with Lego. Like, it's very much building blocks. Most of the code you'll write is actually in a theme. It's very rare that you actually have to write your own kind of modules or anything like that. It's just the odd time you'll have to do like a glue module where you're piecing a couple things together if it's not quite like you want. But I find that nearly all the time I don't need to do that. It's very, very rare that I have to. So they've got that there. We've got customization of content pages and even forms and administrative pages via that administrative interface. So with Views in core now, they've actually, all your admin pages and things like that are actually modifiable now because they're actually views. So this makes it very, very flexible. So one of the things that I love about Drupal is it's not quite a CMS out of the box kind of thing like what you get if you're looking at something like, say, WordPress, right? WordPress is more of a CMS now. It's more of like, here's a basic admin experience, but customize it to suit your client's workflow or their needs. So it's really much like a PuTTY interface where you can just modify, massage it around to how you need to use it or how your clients need to use it. So it's really, really nice there. The next thing is it's fully translatable and localization is built in out of the box. So if you need to do your IA18N stuff, you can do that very easily and it's all built in. Next one, which this is pretty big in itself, is reliable configuration management for safe and straightforward deployment of changes between environments. So this is configuration management. This is part of what they called CMI, Configuration Management Initiative. And previously in older versions of Drupal, you want to take your configuration from, say, development to staging to production or development to production. It was really difficult, like really difficult. And they've addressed this finally. We used to use a features module, which wasn't really actually built to do this kind of thing, but everyone seemed to use it. But now they've actually decided to come and bring this in. So it's versionable. It's all on the file system, which is fantastic. So you can use it in your deploys to update configuration. Really, really nice, and it's very simple, straightforward. It's a big game changer in Drupal, in my opinion. Next thing is mobile first, responsive HTML5 output. They're really focusing on being mobile first and having the most semantic, best markup you can. I spoke about the REST API, fantastic there, so you can do native web services. They've got enhanced accessibility for WAI ARIA compliance. So that's pretty big there in itself. Drupal has been targeted more at larger sites, so it's good to see that they're pushing this. And Drupal 7 did have this, but they're just pushing it even further, so it's good to see. They've got modern PHP standards and practices with integrations of popular libraries such as Composer, which is a pretty big part of Drupal now. Symfony 2, which is basically the whole Drupal core and everything has been rewritten in Symfony. Makes a huge big difference there, being in Symfony for all the routing layer and stuff. It's so much easier and so much easier on the whole. They got other integrations with Guzzle and Twig. Twig is the new templating language, so for any of your front end view kind of stuff, Twig's there. That solves a number of problems. I think it makes the transition for anyone else coming into Drupal to do theming. Makes it very easy because it's very liquid, templatey, moustache, handlebars style kind of stuff. And you don't have to worry about PHP. It also plugs a lot of potential security issues when you're writing just raw PHP. Those things like that would come up for people who knew enough PHP, and they might be all right with PHP, but didn't realize certain things could cause certain security issues. It was very easy to do. And as well, on top of that, is just making sure that PHP shouldn't have really been in your view markup. It's supposed to be in another file or a number of files, and that was kind of leaking in there, so it's a bit of a mix of concerns. Twig separates that, and there's no way really around it. So it's good to have there. They significantly improved the front-end performance out of the box, so it wasn't slow, but it certainly could have been snappier, and they've certainly addressed that from the front-end perspective. This is another big one, is their enhanced caching and best-of-class integration with CDNs and reverse proxies. This is pretty huge. So a lot of sites have nice front-end caching, but the problems are with logged-in users. Caching content's really hard because content essentially is changing. It's very dynamic once you're logged in. But they've actually been able to cache that now, and it's not just on like a page level, it's on a per content level. So you might have like 8 bits of content on a page, but it can cache just those individual pieces of content and then, you know, bust the cache for those just tiny little bits as need be, and it really, really, really works very well. And that can also push out to CDNs and automatically notify them, and they can update, you know, throughout the world. Really amazing work what's been done. We're discussing this at the launch party that we had on the 19th of November for Drupal 8. And yeah, we really don't think, at least what we've discussed, and you know, a lot of people have been playing around with a lot of different content management systems, no one's kind of really even done this. So it's a bit of a landmark moment there. The next thing is full compatibility with PHP 7. You know, PHP's been moving at a really high pace lately. But yeah, so it's good to see they've got PHP 7 support. And they've also got full compatibility with Postgres now. They did have some Postgres stuff in the past, but now it's fully sorted, and SQLite databases. So that's essentially it for Drupal 8. I mean, fantastic. It's a massive rewrite. It's a big game changer. Really good to see. Now, you're probably saying, what about Drupal 6? You know, there's now two There will be three releases of Drupal. Drupal 6 will be end of life. It's not quite yet, but it will be on the 24th of February in 2016. So you've got some time now to upgrade your sites and get them to Drupal 7 or hopefully Drupal 8. So the statement reads, Drupal 6 will no longer be supported by the community at large. The community at large will no longer be creating new projects, fixing bugs in existing projects, writing documentation, etc. around Drupal 6. There'll be no more core commits on Drupal 6 to the official tree. The security team will no longer provide support or security advisories for Drupal 6, which is a pretty big one. If you're not really privy to Drupal, the security advisories team is really good. You'll get updates fairly regularly about any kind of security releases and to get those patched straight away. Really handy, so that's a bit of a loss, so you really do need to upgrade. All Drupal 6 releases on project pages will be flagged as unsupported, and at some point in the future, update status may stop working for Drupal 6 sites. Now, if you don't know what update status is it essentially is a part of Drupal itself in each of your installations, which can check for status updates and will let you know if something's out of date, so you can go in there and fix that one or get it up to date. Really, really handy to have, so it'd be a bit sad to not have that functionality. And that's essentially it, though, but very, very exciting, huge leaps and bounds for Drupal. I think if you haven't actually checked out Drupal before, definitely is the time now to check it out. Now, there will be still contributor modules catching up, but out of the box, you can get quite a lot of a site built without any other contributor modules, which is fantastic. If you have looked at Drupal 8 in the past and been a bit, definitely check it out now. It's a big game changer, and definitely worth having a second look now. Getting on to our next one, though, Foundation 6, into our front end. This is something that I absolutely used to love and still do love, but where I work, we've settled on Bootstrap as our framework of choice, as well as experimenting with Bourbon and Neat. But it's good to see that Foundation is still kicking on as being like the most advanced front end framework out there, and I think that still holds true. Like the features that they have are pretty incredible, and they've really just shown that, you know, they still are, even though everyone uses, or a large number of people use Bootstrap, Foundation is still something to not look at and definitely evaluate. And I recommend using it because I used it for a long time, and I still don't mind it. So first things first is Motion UI. I'm going to get this one out of the way simply because it's part of Foundation, but it's not. So you can actually use it outside of Foundation. You don't have to be using a Foundation framework to use Motion UI. So what is Motion UI? It allows you to easily create animations and transitions. So it's a SAS library and includes two dozen or so built-in transitions and animation classes. Really, really handy. You know, we're becoming more animated on the web. It's a lot less in your face and abrupt than just something happening. It's quite nice to have a smooth transition in there, or a little animation to enhance something. Really good to use, really simple to implement as well. Really good job they've done with Motion UI. Next thing is 50% code reduction. So this is half the size of the previous Foundation 5. So total file size of every component and class now weighs in at 60 kilobytes of CSS. And just 84 kilobytes of JavaScript, with plenty of room still to make it even smaller when you can selectively remove unused components, which is really handy. They've always kind of had that removable component stuff, but I think they've just improved it a little bit there. So you can kind of say, yeah, I only want the grid, no, I only want this and that, which is really nice. It'll cut that file size right down as well. They are A11Y friendly, so it's the base for fully accessible sites. All code snippets come with ARIA attributes, roles, along with instructions on how to properly use these components. This helps ensure that every website built on Foundation 6 can be used anywhere on any device by anyone. So accessibility is pretty massive these days. You know, if you're not really focusing on accessibility, you're doing things wrong. So really get on top of that one. And if you use Foundation 6, you basically get it all for free. You still will need to keep implementing it for custom stuff you put in, but it's all the bases there and makes it easier for you to stay on top of it and get it actually implemented. The next thing is fewer style overrides. Previously, you had to override a bit more styles. It was a little bit painful at times because you'd just be rewriting a bunch of classes and selectors, essentially nearly the whole selector at times. So basically, it gives you the styles you need, none that you don't. So the base styles act as a coded wireframe rather than a final design. Now, I've always seen that the out-of-the-box styling for Foundation has always been more of a wireframing tool, whereas like Bootstrap's kind of like, here's all nice pretty styling and all that kind of stuff, whereas Foundation has been more so like, here's a nice wireframe, you can actually use it to prototype in the browser kind of thing. You're not worrying so much about fonts and color and stuff like that. So yeah, they've really pushed that even further. Simpler CSS styles allow you to more easily modify them to fit your brand. So they've really made that nice and customizable there. The grid, they've certainly updated the grid, the SAS grid. It's any combination of columns that you want now. The SAS grid mix-ins have been made smartly to give you even more flexibility to customize the grids with any number of columns. So it's a bit more like Suzy. Suzy has a really nice way to create columns. It's a very good little SAS library there. And they've also brought in a breakpoint mix in. This is something that I've loved from Neat, which is part of the Bourbon Neat stack. Really nice having these breakpoint mix ins. They're really handy. Once you start using them for doing your breakpoints, you won't look back. They're really, really handy to use. The next thing is right to left features. So essentially, if you have any need to do right to left language support, this really helps makes it a lot easier, certainly for sure. So that's a nice little one there. It's Rails friendly as always. So, you know, I'm a Rails developer. It's good to see that they've kept that Rails implementation, made it nice and easy. You've also got the use of the Zurb development stack. So if you're using Foundation, you can prototype with the tools that Zurb uses. So you can use the same templates that Zurb uses on all their client projects. The startup template is a souped up stack complete with a custom static site generator to help flatten files into single HTML documents. Gives you handlebars, templating, uglify CSS, un-CSS, which will remove your unused CSS, so making sure you keep your style sheets file size right down, and image compression, which is really handy. A lot of people don't actually do this, so I was quite surprised, but compressing your images, and then yeah, compiling SAS as well. And I believe that's it's actually using Gulp. So Gulp to do all this kind of stuff, really good. If you're not into Gulp, I really recommend it. It's fantastic. I did do an episode on Gulp. Check it out. It's something you should be using on pretty much every project. It's a really nice tool. Just automates a lot of the processes that you shouldn't really be doing manually. Another thing was the navigation. So they had like the nice top bar, another navigation. The top bar was fantastic for responsive sites. But it did fail when you wanted to really customize the look and feel of it. They've made the whole navigation parts more broken up a little bit. I don't want to say broken up, but just more flexible. It's been broken into more usable little components. You can just say add things on and build up your navigation as you see fit. And it also makes the styling a lot easier, because even they were saying in a recent interview that even their own designers found it was just too fiddly, and it really was. If you'd used it, it was annoying to style, so it's good that they've addressed that. They've used lots of new SAS features. This is pretty big. Like, there's a lot of cool SAS stuff. In watching the video, I should probably link to it, but really cool SAS features, and they've brought that in. So you will need a newer version of SAS, I think 3.4 from memory. As long as you've got 3.4 or better, then you're right. They've also got media query syncing with JavaScript. This wasn't in their notes, but it's pretty cool. So you can just, with a simple API in JavaScript, be able to reference the breakpoints, the CSS breakpoints, and, you know, do your JavaScript, any kind of functions or anything like that you have in there, load in any libraries based on those media queries. Really handy, and you can do like the, you know, medium and up, or medium or whatever. So it's really, really flexible there. And then there's also their add-ons. Don't forget about them. A lot of people do. They've got things like stencils for all your wireframing, responsive tables, icon fonts, SVG icons, HTML templates, all that kind of stuff. That's really awesome. So that's essentially it though with Foundation 6. It's a big leap forward. I mean, it's a really snappy framework. All the tools you could possibly want. And there's some that you even don't even really need, that you can easily remove those. Like, they've done a really good job. It's very very customizable framework. It beats out Bootstrap in the customization features. Again, you know, we've got new Bootstrap coming out though, but Foundation really does love to push frameworks, and it really, I'd say it started the real push for CSS front-end frameworks. It really started the movement, and it's continuing to push push the barriers and, you know, break through things and do the awesome. So recommend checking out. If you are a Bootstrap user or you've never used a framework, come check it out. If you looked at it before and you didn't quite like it or something like that, definitely check it out again. Like, they're always improving and it's always handy. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Certainly check that one out. But that's it for the episode. I'd love to know, you know, have you checked out Drupal 8 yet? If you have, you know, what's your experience has been like? You know, if you haven't checked it out for a while or you evaluated it a while ago and you thought, no, not really, definitely check it out now. And I'd really love to know your thoughts on that. Same with Foundation 6. You know, have you played around with it yet? This episode's coming out a number of days after it's been, both of them been released. So I'd love to know your experiences with it. What are your thoughts? I'd love you to send through your comments and questions and whatnot all about them as well through to @CodaCatchUp on Twitter. You can send an email to me at CodaCatchUp@gmail.com. You can leave a comment on CodaCatchUp.com for this show, and I will reply to all those. So no matter what you send through, any questions or any comments, I will reply to them. So please do send them in. It's been great, the questions I have been getting. So I really appreciate that. And if you do have some time too, please, you know, don't forget to subscribe if you're really liking the podcast. Tell your friends about it and get them to subscribe in your podcatcher of choice. And if you do have some time, please leave a rating, a review, whatnot in iTunes. I'd really, really appreciate that. And I just want to say a big thanks to everyone who's been listening. Like, my listenership just keeps growing and growing, and the feedback I'm getting is great, and the questions I'm getting, I really, really appreciate it. But that's essentially it, guys and girls. We'll catch you the next episode, and keep hacking.